Good morning and welcome to this wake-up session this morning. My name is Marco Russo. I'm here today to talk about how to improve your Power Pivot data models for Microsoft Power BI, which means improving the data model for Excel, for Power View, for forecasting, for Q&A, whatever service you have is based in Power BI on a Power Pivot data model. So it's very important to understand how you can improve this data model to offer a better experience to users that navigate data. I'm a consultant and mentor. You can find many articles on the topics that I'm discussing on sqlbi.com, and I also brought a couple of books about Power Pivot and analysis services. This is the general idea of what we are going to do in this session. So we will start talking about what are the general best practices for Power Pivot. Then we will move towards Power View and Q&A. I think we will spend half of the time about Q&A because it's the more sensitive product that we have about the data model, and because it could influence not only the names but also the structure of your data model, I think it's very important to understand what is better to do today, even if you still don't use Q&A today, but you may want to use this tomorrow, you could start creating the data model in the right way. So Power Pivot is the foundation of Power BI. As I said at the beginning, whatever tool you use to navigate into data, you are fundamentally using a Power Pivot data model. And a Power Pivot data model has structures, which are tables, columns, relationships, and measures. And within this container, you have data, which are the information that you have in rows of your tables. But we also have other information that we call metadata, which are how to format columns, how to format measures. And now we have other information like synonyms or other properties in tables and columns that we can use to enrich the data model. And my goal today is trying to explain which of these properties you have to use in the best way. So having a good data model is important not only for a better user experience, but also for performance and usability. So let's start with Power Pivot. First of all, when you have a Power Pivot data model, and I'm assuming that everyone in this room already used Power Pivot, but of course I will show you some example, but we will not spend time introducing Power Pivot in this session. However, when you have a Power Pivot data model, you fundamentally have a set of tables and relationship, and you have to find the right normalization of your data model. It is wrong to create a third normal form in Power Pivot, a third normal form database in Power Pivot. So if you have your OLTP database and you copy table by table everything into Power Pivot, you are going in the wrong direction, whatever you want to do. It is a bad idea also to create a single flat table. You say, well, Marco, I have a star schema. I can denormalize everything into a single fact table. And I have to say, from a performance point of view, it would be the best data model that you can create in Power Pivot, but it is not a good idea for many other reasons, especially for usability. The star schema, so fact table dimensions, single dimension, single table for every dimension, is the right data model. So if you know star schema, you already know what I'm talking about, but otherwise we will see a few examples of that. So the idea is that, trying to describe this in simpler terms, if you have one entity in your data model, you should have only one table for this entity. Products, one table. Not products, category, subcategory, colors, and other things. One table, denormalized. This is the good approach. And if you have tables that could have multiple roles, it is a good idea to duplicate the content of these tables in different tables with different names for tables and columns. Again, usability. When you navigate into this data model, you want to immediately recognize if you are using the year of the order or of the shipment without having to look into many places. When you create a Power Pivot data model, you fundamentally should include only the columns that are really useful. You should avoid including columns that are not so important. So, for example, if you have, let me try with an example. If we create a new Power Pivot data model, this is something that is very simple to do because we could create a new model here. We can import data from SQL Server. I choose the classical Adventure World schema. And once I go here, I can choose several tables. So, for example, I have here the fact internet sales table, and I can choose the related tables, because in this way I already get the equivalent of a star schema. The fact internet sales table contain measures like sales, quantity, and so on, sales amount, and the dimensions, these tables with the dim prefix, contains the description of the entities, like customer, like product, and we also have a special table for dates. Now, once you import this data, if I click OK and I import everything, I'm also importing all the columns. And as I said, this is not a good idea, because if you take a look at the definition, for example, of the products, you will find many columns that you probably will never use for the analysis, like, for example, the start date here or the description in languages that you don't think to use. Now, we don't see anything here, but as you see, there are products that have description in many languages. Now, if you want to keep this information in the analysis, that's fine. But remember that every column has a cost. So it is better if you remove those columns that are not useful, especially those columns that contains many distinct many different values. For example, take a look at this table. This table contains the description of the sales, quantity, price, and so on. And this is what we call in a star schema the fact table. And this table contains the sales order number. Now, I understand that if you want to see the list of orders that are included in the sales that you made in a certain day, you need this information. But this is the single most expensive column of this table. So, in Power Pivot, the data are stored column by column, and for a question of performance, there is a better compression when you have many duplicated values in a single column. But a column that contains sales order number probably has a distinct value for every row. And this is what we want to avoid. Of course, in the dimension, we need a column like that. For example, if I go in dim product, I have a column like the product key, which is necessary. This column is fundamental because it's the column that defines the relationship between the dim product and the fact internet sales. The relationship is visible here in the diagram view, and it has been generated automatically when I import the data from the SQL Server database in this case. So the idea is that we have to choose the right columns. We have to remove the columns that we don't need. And in case we have multiple columns that could be the alternative key for a single entity, we should keep just one or maybe two, but not every single column with a large number of distinct values. What about pictures? You can import pictures of your products, of your customers. It works. But remember, all the data are in memory. And this is not a good idea. So if you can avoid that and you can just get the URL of a picture, it would be better. Unfortunately, if you're going to use Power View in Power BI, so in the cloud, today the picture is visible only if it is embedded in the data model. If you use the URL, it is still not available. So this is, you know, something to consider. We will see this later. If you have columns that contain timestamps, that contains a global unique identifier, remove them. And if you want to also optimize your data model, you may want to remove calculated columns that are used only as an intermediate step in a complex calculation. So at the beginning, you create many calculated columns to see step by step your calculation. But if you want to optimize your data model, if you want to squeeze the memory, remove them and create a complex formula once you tested it. So there are many other possible optimization. I don't want to go too much in detail in this. You will find many articles in this topic. Like, for example, you could try to split a high number of distinct values in a column that is used for a measure into different columns using multiplication. So these are improvement for the performance. For the user, in terms of usability, he will not see much difference unless it will see that the workbook is faster because you are using a more optimized data model. Now, let's go in some more detail. One suggestion that I can give you is try to avoid relationships through high cardinality columns. What does it mean? If you have this data model, you have order header, order details. Like, you know, in your OLTP database, you have the order header that contains a few information, and the order header has a few dimensions, a few entities related. For example, the customer and the date are related to the order header. For each row in the order detail, we don't have to duplicate the date and the customer. It is always the same. So in the OLTP database, we are not going to duplicate this information. But this means that if you import this data model in Power Pivot, it works. You filter by date, and you also filter the order details. It works. One-to-many relationship. The relationship is propagates the filter. But the problem is that you have this particular relationship here. Let me highlight this. This one. This one is a relationship that uses the order number for defining the relationship. And the order number is a column that has a high number of distinct values. What we call a high cardinality column. Avoid that. Relationships have a cost in Power Pivot. And this cost is higher when the number of distinct values that you have in that column is larger. So try to use relationships that are less expensive. So how can we optimize this data model? By doing this. By doing By doing a duplication of the dimensions in the two tables. I mean, not the dimension, just the relationship. So instead of having the relationship to date and customer only in the order header, we duplicate this information in all the rows in the order detail. And from a relational point of view, you say, well, we are going to duplicate data. Yes, I know. It's less expensive because we are removing one relationship on a column that has a high number of distinct values that is very expensive. And trust me, this is much faster than the other. Try this model in Power Pivot by just importing maybe a couple of million of rows in the order header and 10 or 20 million of rows in the order detail. Then try to measure performances in a large Power Pivot, in a large pivot table, and then try the other data model. You will see the difference immediately. Another important suggestion. It's very easy. When you create a data model in Power Pivot, it's very easy to do this. Let me show you. So close this one. Let's go in the data model. This is a similar data model like the previous one. So we got data from AdventureWorks. Come on. Uh-huh. It's so nice. Where is my... Okay, let's close Excel. You prepare all the demo, and then they don't work. So nice. Let's try again. I need this window. So in this window, you have all the tables of your Power Pivot data model. As you see, they are more or less the same as before, but I already prepared this data model by creating a few hierarchies. And the dim date table contains a hierarchy that has year, semester, quarter, month, date. Because in this way, my end user can do what? In a pivot table, let me create another pivot table, which is better. When I create a pivot table, if I go in dim date, I can just get this hierarchy here. I put this hierarchy in the rows here, and I can drill down and see the semester, the quarter, the month. So without looking for this column in the data model, it is very easy to use. Now, as you see, this hierarchy shows me year and month and year instead of just the month. So this other hierarchy seems very identical. But as you see, I have January, February, March without the year. It seems the same. From the point of view of usability, it seems similar. I mean, I would see the same numbers if I put a measure. But in terms of performance, it could be very different. And I would say also in terms of usability. Because if you create if you create the hierarchy using the column that contains 12 distinct values for the month, like January, February, and so on, and you repeat January in all the years, technically you are using a column that has one value for all the months regardless of the year. So this means that when you use pivot table in Excel, the pivot table uses MDX. For MDX, the hierarchy on the left is an unnatural hierarchy, which could be very expensive. Whereas the right one is what we call a natural hierarchy. For those of you that are used to analysis services multidimensional, they know the problem, and they say, well, but Tabular doesn't have this issue, right? And this is true for DAX. But when a query is in MDX, there are a number of technical reasons for which having a hierarchy defined using data that are recognized by the engine, like a natural hierarchy, this will be much faster. There are no metadata that you have to put in the data model. It is just important that you use the content that has a value that is unique for each parent. So if you use January 2014, the only parent that January 2014 has is the year 2014. Okay? So this is a very important optimization. And at the risk of breaking my demo, I want to show you what happened. As you see, the problem arises when you mix this hierarchy with other attributes. Now, in this case, this drill down using city, din geography, and city on rows after the products is very fast. As you see, I have the product and the city here. If I try to do the same in an unnatural hierarchy, as you see, I have the product here. I try to put the geography city here in this place after the product. Now, this is funny. Wait. This is Adventure Wars. Small database, right? Now, I have to kill Excel now. I think Excel ask is enough. I can cancel the operation. But this is a big issue. Probably they will solve it in the future. But remember that in general, it is important to use natural hierarchies. OK. So other suggestion. Use meaningful names. So avoid caps. Avoid Pascal casing without spaces or camel casing. Just use the name that you will see in a report. This is to make the life easier for the user. Avoid acronyms unless they are so well recognized in your company that if you use the description, nobody understands. Sometimes it happens. What is this one? Oh, but this is, yeah. It is important that you are consistent in your data model. So if you use an acronym, always use this one. don't mix different abbreviations of the same term in different tables. Set the right data type for calculation and set the right format to display data. This could be, you already know that, but just to quickly review, when you are in the Power Pivot data model, and you are, for example, in a column or in a measure, let me go in the fact internet sales here, and let's create a measure here. So this column has a data type and a format. Now, it seems the same, but in reality, these are two different things. Data type is how data is stored, and this is important for the calculation engine. So if you use a decimal number or whole number or currency, there will be different results in calculation when decimals are involved and different performance depending on how you store data. But you can display as a currency something that is an integer or a decimal. So depending on the calculation, you choose the data type. Depending on how you want to display data, you choose the data format. So remember, these are two different things, and it is important to set this in the right way. Also for other tools, not just for Power Pivot. Summarized by, we have in the advanced properties pane a few other properties that we can set for our data model. For example, we can set here in the advanced pane, and remember, the advanced pane is visible when you go here in file and switch to advanced mode. The first time you open Power Pivot, you are in normal mode. Advanced mode, you see advanced, and here you have this summarized by, which can be applied to a column that contains a number. This means, default, it means, okay, what, do what you think is right to do, but if you know that, for example, in the dim date column, table, you will never want to sum year, right? It's a number, but I don't want to sum it. So I go here and say, do not summarize. Or you know that this number, you want to, the price could be something to calculate as an average, not to sum. And data category is important to specify that, for example, this is calendar date. Now, this is important only for the date, not for the year, so I should go here and I should specify this is the date. These are important information for other tools, and we will see this later. So, we can also hide a few information that we have to store in the data model, but we want to avoid to expose to the user. So if we have our product key, we want to hide the product key to the user, especially if it is a surrogate key. Maybe if it is a business key, we can keep it visible. And it is important to use the right names also in columns when you may have a potential misleading name. We will see an example of this in Q&A, so I will come back on this particular topic later. So what I have described up to now are general rules valid for Power Pivot, but for any other tools. Now we go deeper in particular rules, particular guidelines, just for Power View. In reality, many of these rules are good also for Q&A. We have the ability to specify a few properties that apply different behavior for Power View. And again, these are in the advanced pane. So the table behavior allows you to specify a row identifier, which is a column that contains a unique value for each row in the table. When you do that, you enable other features like default label, default image, and keep unique rows. Now, keep unique rows enables you to do something like that. Let me show you this in the customer. If I know that I don't want to group two different customers with the same last name as a single row, I can say, well, in case you put the last name in a Power View report, I want to see two rows. Let me see if there is someone who, okay. I don't want to see only one row with atoms. I want to see as many atoms as customer key values I have. So one row for each customer. You can enable this behavior by going here in table behavior and saying, well, customer key is the row identifier in this table, and the last name should be unique. Probably you want to compose the first name and last name better. But the idea is that at this point, if I use last name in a Power View report, I will see a list of last names. Now, what is the problem? Let's try to do that. So I don't put this now. I go in my Excel file and I insert Power View. So I create a Power View data model. Here I choose in the dim customer the last name in a table. And if you remember, we had many atoms, but now we have only one. And of course, we can put the sales amount here just to see a number. This is the total of sales for all atoms. Now, if I go back and say, okay, let me go back in the data model, and I choose here in table behavior, last name for keep unique rows, I click OK, I go back in Power View, too many powers, and done. One row for each atoms. Nice. Problem. What happened? If I create a pivot table, you would expect, like me, the same behavior in between Power View and a pivot table, right? Right? Okay. Just to check if you are awake. Okay. Unfortunately, we have a different behavior. The effect of keep unique rows only applies to Power View, not to the pivot table. Send a request, they are called design change request. Mike, so please. Anyway. Okay, so this is keep unique rows, so be careful. Default field set and default label. These are properties that enables you to specify what you want to include in Power View by default when you select an entire table. So for example, let's go back to the data model. If I go in, let's check, these are not interesting, this one. So I go here and I select a few columns from this table, city, state, province name, and region name. In this particular order, but I may say, well, I want to move down city in the middle. And I click OK. What happened at this point? Remember, this was the DIN geography table. I go in my Power View report, and I double-click DIN geography. The double click on this table produces the table here with exactly the list of columns in the order that I set in the default field set. You also have other views in Power View, like for example, table, the car view. In the car view, you see this particular visualization. You may decide that one of these columns should be the most important one and should be highlighted. And this is the default label. The same for default image, which is a property that defines, in case you have multiple columns with an image, which is the default one. So in order to use images, you have to specify that the data type is an image, but you may also have an image URL. For example, I have this nice example that I prepared, if I am able to find it, let me check, this one, where, as you see, I display a flag for every country in this Power View report. In reality, I didn't copy this flag in the data model. What I have in this model is the following content. I have a table that contains, for each country, the flag code here. And then I created an expression that using the the flag code created a new URL. This URL corresponds to a website where I have all the flags. And I just have to say that the data category is an image URL. In this way, Power View recognizes these URLs are something that has to read from the web to display my report. But in my workbook, I don't have a copy of the flags. Problem, when I am on the plane, I cannot see the flags. I know. Unless in the United States you have this nice Wi-Fi in the planes. I have to say it's very nice. Unfortunately, in Europe, we are, you know, a little bit behind on these things. But, okay, so this, unfortunately, doesn't work today, doesn't work when you publish this on the Power BI website. Here. So, URL on in-memory, I already explained you the differences. Having the images in memory enables you the compatibility with Power BI today. And, of course, you can work also when you are offline. You can see the images. Now, 1 week ago, Microsoft released forecasting in Power BI. So forecasting is a tool that enables you to do this thing. Let me show you. I have this workbook. Let me show you new users that displays how many new subscribers we have in a particular website. Okay, so we regularly have new subscription, and this chart is by week. This one is by month. Right. We created this report. We copied this report into the Power BI website. So what you see in Excel is just the data of what happened in the past. Now, I go in my Power BI website where I have my new users here. I open this workbook, and I show the data in the same visualization using Power View. Now, this Power View visualization is done by using Silverlight component, which is identical to what I have in Excel. But as you see, this icon here is display in HTML5. When you do that, you access to the latest build of the visualization that has one nice thing. Prediction. This is the forecast of what will happen in the next weeks by using a seasonality that has been automatically detected in 5 units. Now, since I know that the seasonality here is 52, I try to change it, and I see this that is nicer, and I also can see the accuracy of this prediction, and I can also see what is called I don't have this here. Oh, let me see. I have this here. The prediction made using the past data, which is not visible here. Let me see. Okay, this one. Okay. So you can see in this chart the prediction of the past. So I see how this algorithm would have predicted data by using the past data. And I can compare this prediction with the actual data. So I can see how much, it seems not so bad. I have to say not so bad. Now, what is the problem? There are no problems. This just works. But look at the x-axis. It is what? Yeah, I say to you that this is data by week. Let's take a look at the data model. I go in the data model, and what I put here is the isomonth start. Initially, I had this column in the Power Pivot data model that displayed the week name in this way. Isoweek name, maybe with the year, but fundamentally it was a string. Now, if you use a string, it doesn't work. You cannot put a string in the x-axis using the forecasting tool. You have to use a column that has to be a number or a date. Now, what happens if you use a date? If I use the column date, I have values day by day, but I know that looking at the data day by day doesn't make sense. I want to see data aggregated by month or by week in my prediction. But I have to use a date. So what I had to do? A simple thing, to tell the truth. I created these two columns, which fundamentally has the first day of the week, the first day of the month, duplicated for every day in the month or in the week. At this point, you have more columns of the data type of these columns is date, but you don't use this column as date for the days. And when you do that, and you use this column in Power View, the prediction works. I wrote an article about that because I think it's not intuitive, but the nice thing is that Power View displays automatically, not the date, but maybe month, year, or week, year, automatically, depending on the number of data that you have. So this is good. So this is what you need. There are many other details. I wrote an article. This is the URL. You will find, in any case, the slide deck in the TechEd website or in the Channel 9 website. So you will find easily this article. But if you go in SQLBI.com, it is the last article we published. And this is a nice picture of the prediction. Nice. Now, Q&A. What is Q&A? Let's start with a simple demo. Okay, let's go in Q&A here. Medals. Medals count. Probably you already seen this demo many, many, many times. And until you use the data from the samples that you have in the Power BI website, it always works. As soon as you use your data, it seems it doesn't work because you have to adapt your data model to this feature. You have to create a data model that can be understood by the engine, by the language engine of Q&A. So what I'm going to do now, what I'm going to do now is trying to describe what are the good practices in order to enable me to display data of my data model in a nice way. The model that I will use is this one. Oh, let me see, Q&A. Very simple. Because, you know, when you want to understand how it works, you have to start from the basic. I have a list of customers and a list of vehicles. Each customer may have one or more vehicles. So you see here, this is the list of vehicles. Customer ID is the owner of each vehicle, of each car. And I have a few information about this car, right? So these two tables, which are in Excel now, have been imported into a Power Pivot data model here. And this data model, of course, has a relationship. Relationships are very important, but now I will explain this in every detail. So at the end of the day, I want to go in my, in my Q&A pane and see customer. So, right? And I want to keep this from the first example. I just want to store, because I have several examples, so I'm now forcing Q&A to use only one workbook, because I want to show you what happens when you don't have certain information. So I will start from this, and then later I will switch the result to other workbooks. And it just works. Show customers, and I have the list of customers. In reality, I see only the name of the customer. And if you remember, my table was customer ID and name. But as you see, customer ID is a hidden column. Only visible columns are used by Q&A. So there are many things to do. So now I will show you a few things with the slides, also because I have a few animations and a few pictures, and then we will go back at the end on this demo, looking at what I can change in different versions of this workbook and what is the difference in Q&A. So, how Q&A works? First, Q&A search for interpretations of the questions. When you type a question, you see different interpretations, and each interpretation of the question has a score that is used to select the best possible interpretation. This score depends on metadata that you have in your data model. So by enriching the data model with the right metadata information, we can obtain a better score for the right interpretation. And this is the goal. Finally, Q&A try to select the best visual. And there are rules that by default choose a certain visualization, but you can add metadata, like the data category, to make a certain visualization happen and not another. For example, why you see a map or a bar chart? Because you selected a column that has a data category that is a city or a country or something like that. You don't have that, the name is not recognized as the name of a country, and you will simply see a bar chart. So we can influence the best answer, and the tools that we use are for the interpretation of the question, the data model, and synonyms, that are a specific feature for Q&A that we will see later. In order to improve the score for the best interpretation, we can use phrasing, but we can also use in a right way synonyms and relationships. And in order to select the best visual, we can use the data model and the categories of columns. Naming rules. The table name corresponds to the entity name. And if you remember what I said at the beginning of my session, one entity, one table. This is the first rule, one entity, one table. Singular, better. The plural is automatically inferred by Q&A, but you can also use the plural if you want. I have seen that there are not so many differences. Avoid abbreviations and acronyms, because you may understand what is the meaning of an abbreviation, but Q&A does not. Omit the data type in column name, amount, currency, amount integer, quantity integer. Avoid these names that are useful for programmers but not for Q&A. A simple object may be in a single column. So for example, if you want to describe the color, the price, the model of a product, it is just a column in the table products. It's not an entity by itself. You may create a table of colors, but fundamentally, it's probably useless. So this is an example of a poor data model. As you see, PK, STR, underscore everywhere, camel casing. And this is an example of a better data model. So single word in column names. You may have ID or key as a suffix, but these are probably columns that we will hide in the data model. Hidden columns are ignored by Q&A. And so this is an important consideration. If you hide a column, this information will be ignored by Q&A. And sometimes this is not good. I mean, I found that I wanted to use a hidden column in Q&A because it would make sense to hide something for Power Pivot, but in Q&A, it could be useful to show that. Anyway, you should hide those information that are useful only for internal relationships or something like that. Remember that when you define relationships between tables, which are the relationship between your entities, remember, we have customers and cars. If we don't put the relationship, Q&A does not understand that a car can be owned by customer. That customer has one or more cars. This is automatically understood by Q&A just because there is a relationship. Customer has cars. But only active relationships are considered. In a Power Pivot data model, you may have inactive relationships, and these are ignored. They don't exist in Q&A. And if you remember, I said use duplicated dimension, use it as a role dimension. I have a slide later for just for that. Use the correct data type. Same suggestion that I made for Power Pivot. Use the correct data type. A number is a number. A string is a string. Don't use a string for a number. Use summarize by in order to explain if you can sum a year or not. Use sort by column if you want to display January, February, March, instead of April, August as the first 2 months, right? The same rules are applied to Q&A. No surprise for that. Data category. The data category property that I shown you before is relatively important in Power View, is much more important in Q&A. Because it influences the choice of the visual of the visualization. Map, chart, line chart, and so on. It can also offer a better interpretation of the questions. If you type, when was John Smith hired? The when is probably related to a certain column that contains a date. When is something related to the time. If you write count customers in brown, brown may be a city or maybe a color. So if you have this data category, you may help Q&A to write to find the right interpretation. Advanced properties. The properties that we have seen in Power View are used also by Q&A because actually Q&A generates automatically a Power View report. And so fundamentally the same rules happen here, are applied here. And the default label, the default field set are used for the tables displayed by the result of a Q&A query. Normalization for Q&A. The star schema is always good. But also a star schema with slowly changing dimension type 1 and type 2 is good. So for those of you that don't understand the difference, don't worry. Star schema is good, but this is a technical information for those of you that design data marts using the Kimball methodology. Avoid type 3 slowly changing dimension. You need one column per attribute. And Power View is not able to parse the content of the column, and I will show you a few examples of all these details with a few graphics, and use always active relationships, because relationships are transformed in verbs, has, owns, and so on. For example, potential design challenges. Imagine that you have a table that contains many different columns that describes properties of, in this case, the supplier. You have the contact name, the contact title, the contact address, and you see these columns with all these names that always have this prefix. Contact something, contact something. Maybe a good idea in a star schema having that. But now I'm saying you, well, in this particular case, when you have a group of columns that could be considered as a distinct unit within this entity, in this case, it could be good to do that. Actually, this contacts table that contains only the information, actually, we are normalizing data in this case. But this is because in this particular case, even if contacts and suppliers are in a one-to-one relationship, this could be better for Power View for a number of reasons. There is a long explanation of that, but you will find much more details in a link that I will show at the end of the slides. If you have a data model that has property bags. Imagine a table that has customer, property name, value, right? There are models that are created in this way. This is very bad for Q&A. Because the problem is that Q&A, when you say, show me the customers that have an age between 25 and 30, it's very hard to understand what you want to do for Q&A. You may be able to write a SQL query to do that, but this is very hard for Q&A. So in this case, this is a better data model. One column per attribute. One column per attribute. Q&A like this, because it has a semantic meaning for each column. There is only one meaning. It is not ambiguous. If you have many columns with the same meaning, you have another trouble. You have another issue. This is something that doesn't work well in a star schema too. But fundamentally, if you have this table where you have for one customer or for one, in this case, book name, you have several cities, this author will visit city 1, 2, and 3. A better way to do that is using another table that contains the list of the cities and a one-to-many relationship with the list of the tours that this author is doing. Again, this is probably a simple rule of normalization, but as I said, it is important because in this particular case, Q&A works very bad if you use the columns, different columns that have the same meaning. Because you don't have a way to explain that data model to Q&A. If you have a column that contains too many information, you have to split this information in different columns. Be careful, because in this particular case, this column is useful for PowerMap. PowerMap likes this column, because this column uniquely identifies the location of the customer. But for Q&A, this column is bad. So we will use this column for PowerMap, but we will use the other columns, address, city, and country, for Q&A. We can keep both. We can keep the full address and all the distinct columns. We need one column per attribute. So if we have a list of composers for a symphony, we have to use a one-to-many relationship in order to avoid having different names in a single column. Q&A is not able to parse the content of a column. Okay? If there are many values, it is just a single value for Q&A, in any case. Avoid inactive relationships. I already mentioned this many times, but if you have flights, airports, departure, arrival, two airports, right? You may think to use this normalization in a relational database, but it is way better if you use this, which is a denormalization of the data. So fundamentally, we duplicate the name of the airport in departure airport name and arrival airport name in our data model. Because in this way, it is true that we have two columns with the same dictionary, but for Q&A, it will be much easier to understand the difference. Synonyms. When you define a column, the column name became the name of that column. And all the distinct values that you have in this column are possible value of that name, for example, of that attribute. City, and you have a list of cities. Q&A will have a dictionary that say that knows that city, the attribute city, could be equal to the list of cities that you put. So if you write customers in Houston without specifying that Houston is a city, he will immediately recognize, oh, Houston city, okay, this is here. You might have Houston in other places, of course. This could be harder to understand. But in that particular case, you can improve the phrasing by saying, show me customers where the city is Houston, for example. Now, the point is that when you want to list the cities where city will have only one name. But imagine vehicles that I created before. The vehicles table in reality may be called cars. How can I do that? How can I specify that the same entity can have different names? You can use synonyms that are available in... It went in sleep mode. Okay. The advanced tab, the advanced tab here has this language button, synonyms, that enables you, when you are in a diagram view, to display this list. Now, actually, I think it's not accurate to call this synonyms, because, as you see, even if I didn't type anything before, I already have a name here. And the table name and the column name are the default name for each of these entities. And you can change this. You can say, in my model, I want to have car. This is a car. If I do that, vehicle no longer exists in my data model. I'm replacing the name vehicle with car. If I want both, you can use the comma, so vehicle, car. Be careful, it is not the same. Vehicle, car means that vehicle is the default name. Car is an alternative name. You want to do the opposite, you can, but you will obtain a different behavior. So you can do this with the synonyms, and once you do that, we can see the difference in Q&A. So let me go back to the Q&A pane. And as you see, now I'm using the demo QA01, which is the model that I created at the beginning without using synonyms, right? So what happens if I use show customers? As you see, show customers is interpreted in this way. You see the default interpretation. And I see only name because I, the column customer ID is hidden. I can do the same by using vehicle. And as you see, the interpretation is already vehicles. And I see three columns because the vehicle ID and customer ID are hidden. If I type cars, no answer, because I don't have cars in my synonyms. But before going to the model where I used the synonym, let me show you what happens if I type show Marco vehicle. As you see, in this particular case, I see a subset of the vehicles that are those owned by Marco. But I typed show Marco vehicles. If I type show vehicles owned by Marco, it works. But if you look at this verb, it is grayed out. I could type anything. The best answer, the best guess to my sentence is show Marco vehicles. So owned is not a verb that is really understood. In a more complex data model, or if I unpin this workbook and I extend the search to all the workbooks, the chances that I will get a completely unrelated answer are higher, because maybe that some other model has the verb own, and at that point this is more important than my sentence. So I want to fix this. How can I do that? As I said, we go in our data model in Power Pivot, and we type, first of all, we use here vehicle and car. So we use the synonym car. And we do another thing. My customer ID here has the same name as the column here. You may rename this column to a verb, or you can use just a synonym, with the verb that identifies the action. So I can go here and type owner. Because this customer ID column is the owner of my car. Think about the meaning. Once you type this owner, and you save this data model in Power BI repository, I save this as demo QA 02. So now I go back in my data model here, and I switch to 02, which is which has exactly the changes that I applied. I have to do this in this way. I prepared this in advance because when you save the new workbook every time, we would wait a few seconds. It would be, you know, annoying. And now it works as before, but the difference is that now owned is black. And this means I understood the meaning of owned. Remember, I typed owner. So owner is an attribute, but now there is also a verb, owns, because now customers owns cars. This is done automatically. I just put a few names, and this changes the meaning of my data model. So remember, relationships are important, but also the names that you use in the relationships, in the many sides of the relationship are important. And you can use synonyms to do that. Okay. Now, if you remember, I also used the cars. And now I have my cars. I can also show Marco cars. And again, it works. But as you see, vehicle is the default name. And as you see, this is the interpretation using the default names of the data model. Okay? Okay, let's type something more difficult. Show cars owned by Marco. Again, show Marco vehicles. Nice. Who owns a Ford? Show customer that owns four vehicles. Marco Robert. Nice. Remember, I just added the two words, okay? And let me see, oh, sorry. If I type number of cars, it shows number of vehicles, six vehicles in my database, nice. By year purchase. Remember, there was a column named year purchase. And, sorry, let me go to 02. I have to pin this one. And this is what happened. My year purchase column is a number. I forgot to say, well, this is a year. This cannot be summarized. I have to fix that. So instead of having this result, which is a sum that I don't want to see, I can go in by data model. And let me go back here. And I can fundamentally use, let me check, the year purchase, summarize by, do not summarize. This is the only change that I have to apply. And maybe, no, data category in this case is not necessary, is not required. Once I do that and I save this as demo QA 03, I go back in my Q&A, and the same sentence now is a line chart because I see the year is here and I have four values, and this is the automatically detected visualization for this sentence. I wanted to choose a very, very simple data model because I think that when you see a complex data model with many terms, many data that you don't know, you don't realize what is happening. In this case, we use the very, very trivial data model, and I hope that it is clear what is the behavior of Q&A. I think it is very interesting, this feature, but as you understood, it is important to create a data model that will behave in a good way with Q&A. Fortunately, this does not mean that you have to do something that is too much specific for Q&A. All the best practices for Q&A are also best practices for a Power Pivot data model in general. We just add some metadata. There will be a feature coming in the next future that will allow you to add verbs, add sentences. This is called phrasing, to improve the knowledge in the data model without having to change the data model by changing words, by adding synonyms. And sometimes there are more complex concepts that cannot be expressed by just adding one word. In this link, you will find a detailed explanation of this upcoming feature that I think in a few months will be available in Power BI. So, you just have to use the best practices in data model for Power Pivot, and you already have a good enough data model for Power BI, for Power Map, Power View, Q&A, and so on. Q&A is probably the feature that requires you more attention, especially in names you use. So when a few months ago I was saying, please use a name, a simple name, in the columns of Power Pivot data model, this was not so important. Now it is much more. You can always use synonyms later, but you have to add more work. So if you anticipate this need, it is better. And of course, you will have to refine the model depending on the questions that the user do, but you will find the phrasing feature. It is very interesting because you will be able to see what are the questions made by users more often, and you will be able to adapt the data model depending on the questions that are made by the users. I suggest you to look at the recording of this session that was a few days ago. So it will be available in Channel 9 as a recording. Here are resources. And remember also to complete the evaluation, also because there is a $1 donated by Microsoft for charity for each evaluation. So this is a QR code. Thank you very much for attending. And if you have any question, I'm available. Questions? Question. Yes? No, okay. The synonyms are added into the data model as annotations that are within the data model in Power Pivot. Today, it is not possible to add this information to the tabular data model, but at the same time, today, you cannot use Q&A to a tabular data model. I already talked with people of the development team. They are very aware of this requirement. I hope that they will consider that when Tabula will be available as a possible data source for Q&A. Other questions? There? Okay, I repeat the question just for the audience and to check if I understood. If I have a bad data model that has all the things that you should not have, can you improve the data model within Power Pivot, or do you have to do something outside of Power Pivot? It depends. Usually you can try to do something in Power Pivot, especially if you use Power Query. Power Query is a wonderful tool to change the shape of a table, especially if you have to denormalize or to normalize something, creating a different granularity for tables. Imagine all the transformations where we had a column that contains many data separated by comma, or you have the property bags and you have to create another table. All these transformations are possible with Power Query. So in theory, even if you do not have access to the data source and you cannot create views on the data source, and you don't want to write SQL code, you can use Power Query. Of course, I suggest you not to use too much DAX to do these transformations, because you will end up having a larger data model than necessary, because you could have data in the bad shape and in the good shape. But in any case, DAX does not offer you many tools to do certain transformations, like, for example, creating another table. You cannot create another table in DAX today. Yes. I repeat the question. The question is about will I have some tool to see what the user are asking to my data model so that I can improve? The answer is yes. Take a look at the recording of the session that I mentioned in the slide, the Q&A session, because there will be a new feature, phrasing, that just in the Power BI portal will show you statistics about the questions that are most common, and you will be able to add phrase sentences that add information. It's like adding relationships to the data model without actually adding the relationships to the data model, and it will work immediately. So you will not have to deploy the workbook again. You will do the changes on the cloud, and it already has, they've shown a preview of the user interface. It is not available today, but it will be in a near future. So, sorry, can you repeat the question? Power map works better if you have a single column with a complete address. So address, a city, state, the country.
If some addresses are spelled wrong,
but Power map uses the Bing engine. So there is already some tolerance about errors in typing. Just like when you type a search when you do a search in the Bing Maps, you may find the right city even if you type it in a wrong way. But of course, if there is another city that has a similar name, you can get the wrong address. Okay, thank you very much. Have a nice last day of the conference.